You're listening to the official podcast of United Recovery Project, the number one luxury rehab center based in South Florida. If you or someone you know is drowning in the sea of addiction, don't worry. We've got your life vest right here. Hello, everybody. This is Ryan with United Recovery Project, and I'm ecstatic to welcome you guys to the debut episode of our podcast. We wanted to start producing content on this platform because despite the fact that so many people are dealing with addiction, we realize that there's a severe lack of education about how to get to the heart of the problem. Every 11 minutes, someone in the US dies of an overdose. 38% of adults in 2017 battled with illicit drug abuse. That's over one-third of the adults in the country. Those are insane numbers, and we at URP won't stand on the sidelines while that happens. So before I start, let me just give you some brief info about me since I'm the one hosting this thing. My name's Ryan. I'm a psychologist with a master's degree in psychology, currently working on a PhD, and I have years of experience in the areas of family therapy and drug abuse intervention. Everything you hear on this podcast will be entirely research and evidence-based information. So with that being said, let's hop into episode one. From day one of sobriety to 1 year in recovery, three proven steps. Let's do it, y'all. Yes, you heard that correctly. Within this brief episode, I'm going to provide three powerful and proven steps that anyone can use regardless of their level of addiction to progress from their first day of sobriety to 1 year in successful recovery. So think about this. We usually look at recovery as this enormous monster. I need to resist using this drug for the rest of my life. How impossible of a task does that sound like when you're in the throes of addiction? Pretty damn impossible, right? But what I'm saying to you is, if you can manage to stay sober for just 1 day, then there is so much hope for you. Because by using these steps that literally hack the neuroscience of your brain, 1 day can turn into an entire year of sobriety. And anything you can do for a year, you can do for a lifetime. Just stay consistent and diligent with your habits. So if we're going to employ these three steps successfully, we need to first understand why addiction affects people in the way it does. You see, our brains are hardwired to seek rewards. Our central nervous system is designed to maximize pleasure and minimize pain. That basically means that whatever behavior feels good as hell, or makes someone give us a dog treat, that's the behavior we'll be inclined to express. Now here's the catch. The brain pays attention to when a behavior creates a huge reward or makes us feel extra good. And anybody in recovery will tell you, nothing gives a smack of feel-good chemicals to your brain like a powerful drug. So it's no wonder that a single euphoric dose of heroin can pave the way to long-term addiction. Now, there's a lot of other factors that determine someone's likelihood of getting addicted, such as genetics, environment, how they were raised, emotional state, and brain chemistry. But for now, I want to focus less on what causes addiction and more on the three steps to getting out of it. So now, the three steps. As I go into these, I recommend that you either maybe take out a pen and paper, or perhaps jot it down if you have your laptop or your computer open. But you want to be able to record some information so that this can either be applied to your life, if this is relevant to you, or so that you can relay the information to someone else. So step one is outsource your decision making. Step two is design a multi-level support system. And step three is create a long-term reward system. So starting with number one, outsource your decisions. People make a huge mistake when it relates to addiction or alcoholism, all of these types of things, where they feel as if the answer is willpower. They feel as if they need to make the finite decision that I will never do this drug again. And from the inspiration of that decision, they can then move forward and cut the drug cold turkey and never touch it again. And it's this amazing transformational story. Sure, that may be a small fraction of the community that may be able to do that. However, as a true solution, it's not really reasonable. Because see, addiction is not a willpower-based issue. As a matter of fact, drug abuse or drug addiction, by very definition, decreases willpower immensely and almost nullifies it. You know, there's a doctor named Dr. Nora Volkow. She's a neuroscientist, and she says, using some of her research to convey it, that when people are addicted to drugs, it causes a reduction in the dopamine D2 receptor, which regulates self-control and willpower. So essentially, I'm saying all this to say, your willpower is crap when it comes to fighting a drug you're addicted to. Your motivation will not last long, because at some point, you're going to get weak. You're going to legitimize maybe just using this one time. Oh, I've been sober for 2 weeks. I'm good now. I can use a little bit of heroin. I could take a little bit of this oxy. It won't be a problem. Your brain will trick you into using again, because ultimately it is stronger at keeping the drug in your life than it is at resisting the drug. So as a result of that, when it comes to deciding that we want to get into recovery, we have to outsource our decision making. Accept the fact that you are not a trustworthy source from which to make decisions, that you are inherently going to fall back into your poor decisions and fall back into your poor behaviors if you don't create a structure for yourself to succeed. So my recommendation is, find a professional. If you have a professional that you have access to, maybe through an organization that you're currently working with, whether it be AA or NA, or if you are in contact with a rehab or area where you can develop a connection with a professional, they would be the ideal person to help you get from point A to point B. In this particular scenario, you can reach out to us at United Recovery Project. You can go to our website, unitedrecoveryproject.com. Once you identify someone trustworthy, ideally a professional, but someone trustworthy, maybe it's a parent, a family member, that can help you with making the decisions that you can no longer trust yourself with, co-create a system with them to say, okay, what's next? Do I need to enter a treatment facility? Is that feasible for me right now? I need to get into a scenario in which I don't have access to the drug. How am I going to go about that? All of these things that are going to help you transition from addiction into recovery, these need to be decisions made with that other person or people or group. And you need to acknowledge the fact that when your mind is talking, you don't have to listen to it, because it's going to say things that you can't trust. By the way, your brain is not designed to keep you happy or to help you meet your goals in recovery. Your brain is designed to do one thing: to maximize pleasure while minimizing pain and keeping you alive. There you go. And all of that doesn't necessarily mean stopping your addiction. It's going to do the things that you may not want it to do. And therefore, accepting the fact that the crap that's coming into your head isn't true is necessary. You outsource your decisions so that you can move forward and ultimately gain your autonomy back. Now that's step one. Step two is design a multi-level support system for yourself. Recovery is hard as hell in multiple ways. This isn't something that I'm telling you can magically overcome through hacking the neuroscience of your brain. No, it's very hard. And when you don't think it'll get any harder, it will. And for that reason, we need to do everything beforehand. We must be preemptive in making sure that we can create a sustainable and long-term recovery prior to hopping in. And so for step two, you need to develop a multi-level support system. that you must be prepared for the challenge, and you do that by creating a structure where you will thrive. Oftentimes when we say creating a support system for someone, we're just talking about having friends or having people around them that are cheering them on. No, I'm talking about a support system that is much more complex and integral than that. You need this support system to have three levels. You need it to be structurally supportive, you need it to be emotionally supportive, and you need it to be mentally supportive. And now let me explain what I mean by that. When I say creating a structural support system, you have to identify that there's going to be environments that are going to make me relapse, and there are going to be environments that help me succeed. So an ideal or optimal treatment center will help you succeed. Maybe that's not an option for you, going to a halfway house, or simply being in a home in a new environment with someone you trust where you no longer have access to the drug you're referencing. All of these things, you're essentially designing an environment that's conducive to your goal, which is recovery. You know, there's a man named James Clear, and he speaks about this concept of environmental design. And he says the number one thing you can do to help you accomplish a goal is design an environment that's suitable to that. And so when it comes to creating a support system, doing that on the level of our structure, figuring out the places and the people that can be around us and that can assist us in moving forward is integral. That's level one. Level two is emotional. Your emotions are going to run ragged while you're in recovery. Yes, you're going to have times where you'll want to relapse. Naturally, you're going to go through withdrawals. The emotions of that struggle is going to feel terrible. When the drug is removed from your life, you're going to be left with the hole that the drug was temporarily filling. And that hole is often filled with trauma. It's filled with fear, feelings of unworthiness, and a lack of motivation and discouragement towards life. And so all of those things are going to hit your emotions like a ton of bricks. And if you want to sustainably recover, you need to figure out what is going to help you emotionally, what's going to support an emotional support system, I guess I could say. And so a few things you can think about is, number one, be active. Be in a space where you can say, okay, I have some form of exercise that I can employ. Do things that can help calm your mind, like meditation or having certain activities that can keep you in an emotionally uplifted state, and make them habits so they're part of the system that's supporting your goals. The other thing is, be around the people and the messages that are going to empower you and keep you happy. A huge part of the reason that we initiated this podcast is because of the fact that people in recovery benefit. Research shows that there is an immense benefit to having continuous positive messages and insights being fed into us. And so with this podcast, we hope that you would use this medium to help accomplish that for you. And then level three, the final level of this multi-level support system, is supporting your mental state, your mind. How are you feeding your mind on a daily basis? What are you feeding your mind on a daily basis? Are they things that are conducive to you feeling empowered, feeling excited for your future, as opposed to dreading or feeling shame about your past? Again, who are the people around you? Who are the messages you're hearing? You need to create a system, not just random activities, but really get methodical. This is part of the structure that you're going to co-create with your professional or the trustworthy person you've chosen to help you get into recovery. You guys are going to sit down and say, okay, what are the consistent activities that I need to be employing so that I can keep my emotional state and my mental state in check? And all of that encapsulates step two. And so finally, step three, and this is a very important step that I want you to listen to. I want you to design a reward system for yourself in recovery. You know, we often talk about, oh, I need to eliminate this addiction, or I need to defeat this addiction. But I like to say it differently. I actually like to say, don't eliminate the addiction. replace the addiction. Now, let me explain that a little bit. Remember when I spoke earlier about the fact that our brain is designed, it's hardwired to seek rewards. And that's because our brain has reward systems that keep us alive. The reason why sex and food are so enjoyable to us is because they serve as rewards for us to eat and procreate. And if they weren't creating rewards for us, they wouldn't cause that initiation of dopamine that motivates us to do them. So we would die either by starving or by failing to procreate, and our species would be done. It's very simple. And so from that perspective, we need to understand that when we remove the drug, we're removing a major reward to our brain. And so we need to replace it with other things. And a huge aspect, the research shows that the people who are most successful in recovery is they don't just eliminate the drug, they also think about a recovery in an empowering way. So the benefits of recovery for them replace the perceived benefits of the drug that they were using. So they start to really think about, what is it that this is doing for me, that I'm entering into recovery? What am I going to do? What am I able to do now? Do I have a family? Do I have children? How is my relationship with them going to change? Now that I'm off the drug, how is my health going to change? How much more money will I have now that I'm not spending so much money towards the drug? And they really sit and they meditate on this, and they create a gratitude practice where every day they're constantly reminding themselves of their why. Why am I in recovery? Why am I excited for moving my life forward? Why is this a new way of life that I want to commit to? Not only for myself, but who else is this going to benefit? Who else that matters to me will this be able to improve? And also, now that I'm in recovery, how will I be able to contribute to the world? Maybe when I'm deeper in recovery, I'll be able to help others recover as well. I'll be able to become a change agent in the world instead of being a victim to a drug or a narcotic or alcohol. These are empowering things. And so when we create a powerful why like that, we start to notice over time that our verbiage changes. That instead of saying, I can never drink again, we start to say, I don't need to drink again. I don't want to drink again. Instead of saying, I can't use heroin anymore, we say, I don't use heroin. I'm a father or a mother for my kids. That I'm now a great spouse as opposed to a miserable addict. They turn their verbiage on its head. And so they use the words that empower them. They have thoughts and emotions that empower them. So recovery becomes something they're chasing towards instead of it being them running away from addiction. And so when we employ these three steps of number one, outsourcing your decision-making, then after you've created a plan for yourself, designing a multi-level support system that supports you emotionally, mentally, and structurally. Finally, you want to create a long-term reward system through practicing gratitude, through focusing on why it is that you want to recover, so that ultimately you're now in a system that's going to facilitate your growth. Where in the past, you were in a system that facilitated your drug abuse, but now you're in a situation that's facilitating your victory, your happiness, your success, your loving of your own life. I want to leave you with this one concept. That regardless of if you are the one that needs to transition into recovery, or you're in recovery and just trying to stay afloat, or you are listening to this because there are people you know, there are loved ones of yours that are drowning themselves, I want you to leave with this one thought, that no one is a foregone conclusion. Addiction is something that your body and mind are going through, but it is not something that you are trapped in. It may feel like that, it may look like that, but if you gain anything from this episode, from this podcast, it is that you can change. And all it takes is one, a decision to do so, and two, a plan for moving forward. And so we're giving you the plan right here. And so what's left for you or the person that is in your life that's addicted is a decision. The decision to make the right choice. The decision to choose your life and yourself above a drug, above misery, above things that are not supporting you. And so ultimately, if you have made that decision, or you know someone who has and they're looking for the next step, we at United Recovery Project are committed to healing the root causes of drug abuse and addiction. You can search us on Instagram at our tag at United_recovery. You can find us on Facebook at the United Recovery Project. Just type us in. Or you or the person you know can call us at 866-680-8063. That's 866-680-8063. But thank you, because you've just listened to the official podcast of United Recovery Project, the number one luxury rehab facility based in South Florida. If you or someone you know is looking for treatment or help, have them share this with them. Allow them to hear it, or have them call us or search us on social media. But either way, we are United in Recovery, and we're with you. We love you and thank you. Have a great day. Thank you.